Well, I greet each one this morning in the blessed and worthy name of our Lord. It is good to be with you. I have been here each day for most of the sessions at least, and have enjoyed and appreciated what I have heard, appreciated what I've seen among you. And many, I can see that you are here to learn. You're here seeking to hear and to apply it to your lives. And so I'm very thankful for that. I would like to, before I begin here, I would just like to ask the Lord to have his way. So if you could all rise, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come again this morning in your blessed and worthy name. We come, Father, desiring to hear what you would speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, we are living in a day when iniquity is abounding. And Father, righteousness and holiness is in decline, it seems, in many places. And so, Father, we're thankful. Thankful, Lord, for young men and women who have chosen to come together in this way to hear and to apply to their lives foundational principles, maybe, or just some exhortation and teaching that would apply to their lives. Father, we pray now as we have the next 50 minutes together here, we pray that you would anoint my lips, that I might speak that which would honor you, which would be edifying. And Lord, my heart's desire is that it could make a difference for eternity in the lives of these young people. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I had a brother who's sitting here among us tell me that the message, the title is pretty unspiritual. And as I pondered that, actually I thought of it before he said it, I actually had looked on websites of sister churches, and I didn't find a single sermon or teaching that had that word habit in it. And then if you go to the KJV and do a search, you'll find there's no such word. So why am I speaking about habit if it's so unspiritual? Well, I don't know whether that's your thought, if that's what you think. I am hoping to convince you that it's not, that it is spiritual. I will tell you that if you look at some of the other translations, you will find the word in the New Testament, in fact, as well as in the Old Testament. One of them is one that you would probably well be aware of. It is in Hebrews 10:25. It says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. We are used to maybe hearing it said, as is the manner of some. So there are different words used that describe habits. What is a habit? I think we all know, but I will just give you the dictionary definition. It's a settled tendency or usual manner of behavior, and then her habit of taking a morning walk. That's describing that. An acquired mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary. That's another definition. And finally, a behavior pattern acquired by frequent repetition or physiologic exposure that shows itself in regularity or increased facility of performance. Can anyone, well, maybe I'll just ask, how many of you have a habit? Raise your hand if you have a habit. Oh, okay. How many of you don't have a habit? Let me see those hands. Okay, I don't see any. So all of you recognize that you have habits, or at least one. And now I would like to ask the question, how many of you have had a bad habit? Oh, okay. I'm not going to ask you how many have never had a bad habit, but I am going to guess if we would be truly honest, there's no one here that hasn't. I have. And I'm not going to ask you the question, how many of you have bad habits today? So I'm going to ask this question instead. Are habits good? Raise your hand if you think habits are good. Oh, okay. So you just got through saying you've had bad habits. But habits are good. It's a little bit like asking, is water good? Well, yeah. Or did you forget about all the flooding that happens? So the water in its place is wonderful. Habits in their place are wonderful, are valuable. But they can also be the other way, right? You've already told me that you have had bad habits, and it's just realistic. Statistically, I can be assured that you have bad habits today, probably. Not all of you, maybe. Not bad in the sense that you might think of, you know, drugs or alcohol or, you know, those type of things. But habits which aren't beneficial in your Christian life. You've probably heard there are some habits that are neither good or bad, maybe. Probably heard the story of the young couple. The husband comes in and he sees his wife. She's making a turkey for Thanksgiving, and he comes in and she cuts all these legs off and whatnot. And so he asks her, "Why do you do that?" "Well, that's what my mom always did. Just doing what has been habitual. That's the way we've always made turkeys." So he's curious. I mean, why? I mean, I can't see the point in this. And so they check to see what the mother says about it. And the mother says, "Well, that's what my mother did." And so they go to the grandmother, and the grandmother says, "Well, the reason I did is it didn't fit in my roaster, so I had to cut the legs off." Some things are like that, where you don't really, you're still doing things that you don't really know why you're doing it. It's just the way it's done, right? That's okay. But what I would like to speak about here today is I would like to drive home the point, if I can, that we should be purposeful in establishing good habits. A lot of the habits that we have are probably habits that were formed kind of by accident. They just so happened that we do this. Or they were something, like for instance, I mean, some of you will think badly of me probably, but I get up every morning and then one of the first things I do is go make a whole pot of coffee. And that's my morning routine. It's a habit that I have. I drink coffee in the morning, every morning. It's pretty much without fail. I think I went for the longest a couple months ago when I was in Tanzania. We were visiting a native pastor there who didn't have that habit. You know, most American missionaries over there, they're used to the coffee habit, and so they do it. But a lot of the natives don't. But so that's a habit. I don't consider it a bad habit. I know some people might, but I think it's actually a healthy habit, so you can come talk to me about that if you would like. It's something that is just a habit. It's something that I like. Coffee, I'll be honest enough to tell you, I'm not just doing it for the health. I am doing it because I like coffee, and it's something I do every morning. There are a lot of other habits that are a little bit like that probably, where we do them because maybe something happened in the past and we established this habit in our life. There are other habits that you've seen what the results were of people that did this, and you decided, I'm going to assume for most of us that's the case, you decided that is a habit that is worthwhile. It's a habit that I want in my life. But then there are many that are just, I mean, the way I walk or the clothes I wear or, you know, on and on, things that are habits that are not necessarily good, bad, or otherwise. What I would like to say here in the outset, I'm going to use the scripture in James chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." I'm going to change that a little bit just for you to think at it a little bit different and say, even so, faith, if it doesn't have good habits, is dead. Even so, faith, if it doesn't have good habits, is dead. It should be that you habitually do good, that you have a habit of being generous, for instance. You have a habit of being gentle. You have a habit of being kind. You have a habit of being loving. You weren't born that way, but we can have those habits. Now, some of you may have a habit of getting mad when things don't go your way. You may, well, I don't know that you do, but I know of people that do. I know my father, well, I'll get to that. Faith without good habits is dead. I'd like to think about what one of the benefits, I titled it The Power of Habit. So power is something that gets you someplace. That power is something that does something. It's not something that sits there and gets nothing accomplished. It accomplishes something. What is the power of habit? So here is the thing about it. If you decide, I'm not sure what to use as an example, but if you have a habit of getting mad or angry or frustrated, we might call it, when things aren't going your way, you can't just sit down and decide, I'm never going to do that again. I will never do it. If you've had that habit, you can be sure that you're going to need to do something purposeful to break that habit. There are some people that have said it takes 21 days to form a habit, and it takes 21 days to break it. They actually did a study over in Europe on 96 people. They brought them together. They were all volunteers, and it was a behavior or eating or that type of a study where they wanted to see how long does it take for people to form a habit. So there's this doctor that's been quoted since the 1960s that said that you could form a habit in 21 days. That's been bandied about as long as I can remember. 21 days and you can form a habit. Well, they found in this study that for some people, they could form a habit in 18 days. But for others, or depending on the habit, it took 254 days. I would like for you to purpose in your heart this morning, as you think about your life, if you could ponder, if you could think right now of one habit that would be better if you didn't have it. One habit that would be a good habit to break. And maybe you can't think of it right now, but write it down and come back to it. A habit that you would be better off without. And then purpose. Purpose in your heart that you're not only going to break that habit, but you're going to replace it with another one. Replace it with a good one. And also, now that we know, according to the the European Journal of Psychology, I think was the study that did this, it may take you 254 days to form this new habit. But be determined. Purpose in your heart. And I'm going to give you some pointers as we go along here on how to be able to form a habit. But I'd like to, Jesus often, when he was making a point, used a parable, didn't he? A story. And he would say, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. And you can probably think of some of those where he said, it's like unto hidden treasure. Or it's like unto a net cast into the sea. Or it's like unto leaven in dough. Or it's like unto a farmer sowing seeds. You can go on and on the things that Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. This morning, I'm going to say the kingdom of heaven is like unto a Tesla. I don't know how, are there any girls that don't know what a Tesla is this morning? I'm sure all of you boys know what a Tesla is. The kingdom of heaven is like a Tesla. Wow, who'd have ever thought? I wonder if Jesus wouldn't say that if he was here today, because he used the everyday examples of things that were in their lives in their day. Today, I don't think any of you own a Tesla, but you've probably all seen them. You've seen them running up and down the roads. One of the things that Tesla is known for is self-driving technology. They're known for the ability to stay on the roads, or maybe more so known because that they're supposed to stay on the road. But that's one of the things they're known. There's other cars. There are many other cars, and they have different things that they call them depending on the cars. Hyundai's have it, and Toyota and Honda. Different ones they have. You probably may be here in a car that when you get too close to the center line, it will auto-correct for you. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a Tesla. But I think what I'd like to bring out here now is, did you know that there has been a vehicle running up and down the road for over 100 years that hasn't needed a steering wheel, that hasn't needed someone to steer it for it to stay on the road? Did anyone know that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Okay, we have someone back here that did. What is it? A horse. Oh, well, that could be, I suppose, but I've known of some horses that got off track as well. And there I told you what the road is that I'm talking about. A railroad. So if you have a train, and let's just think about a train for a bit, because objects are something that help us remember things sometimes. So I have a locomotive. That's part of a train. That's what pulls the train. And so let's see what happens. It's just going. It travels. It's going. But what happens? Whoa, it stopped. So we just got through saying that trains are something that has stayed on the road without driving. What is the problem that this one doesn't? This one just wrecked into the wall. The problem is, and would you mind helping me? I have something over here that I'd like to bring. So I'm going to bring out what it takes for that to stay on the road. Just over here will be fine. Good. Thank you. So, the kingdom of heaven, instead of a Tesla, let's say the kingdom of heaven is like a railroad. You've probably all heard the song or sing the song, "Life is like a mountain railroad." The kingdom of heaven is like a railroad. If we can get... It's staying on. It made a complete revolution, and it just keeps going. The kingdom of heaven is like that. That is the power of habit. That is what I'd like for you to recognize, that in order for you to be able to have the power, you're going to have the tracks. So what we're going to need to do is establish what it is that is a track that will keep you in that habit over and over and over and over again. It just keeps going. It has a habit of always going in that circle. That's that train's habit. It just keeps on going, on and on. The kingdom of heaven is like a train. We were over in Germany a few years ago, and we decided I was going over for a medical procedure, and we decided that we would take the train. I speak German, and I love to practice when I have opportunities, and so that was one way. And it was a whole lot cheaper to take a train than it was to fly all the way to where I was going. So we did that. But one of the things that was kind of amazing to me, I've seen the trains around here, know what they're like. But they take it to a new dimension in Europe. And so one of the things that was a bit amazing to me is what the way they built those railroads. They didn't go halfway. They didn't decide, okay, when they came to a hill, that they would just go over top of it. No, they made that hill level. They've leveled out the valleys. You know, Jesus, or John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, and it was already prophesied back in the Old Testament, said that the mountains shall be made low and the valleys filled in. Could it be that this is one way for the mountains to be made low and the valleys to be filled in for you? Because when you form a habit, it becomes something that you don't even have to think about. Brother David last night, he came in and he said, "We're creatures of habit." He just sat right back where he had sat the night before, and I was sitting where I had sat the night before. I said, "Well, I guess we're like cows." If you've ever seen cows, you know all you have to do is once you get them established, they'll go to their own stanchion every time. They just come right in from outside, go right up to where they're at. That's what I'm talking about. The power of habit. Just like this train stays on this track. But you have to have a track established. That's what I would like to drive home for you today, is you can't just decide, I want to love more. I want to be more generous. You have to form a track. You have to roll up your sleeves, so to speak. It took a lot of work for those Germans to make those hills low and the valleys full. It took a lot of work. But today, those trains can go 180 miles an hour just speeding along. And imagine what it would have been like if they just said, it's too much work. That's what we tend to do. It's too hard. It's just too hard. Forming some habits are really hard. And I'm going to suggest to you to start off with bite-sized ones. Don't try to get some astronomical mountain right away. But start. Start with habits that are doable. Things that you know that you can, by the grace of God, establish in your life. I would like to draw your attention to a wonderful example in the Old Testament. Caleb, and you've heard this many times, I'm sure, but thinking of a mountain. Maybe you have a mountain in your life. You have something that's there. But Caleb, here's what he said to Joshua. Now, therefore, give me, this is in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So what Caleb did, he didn't just make an abstract general request. He didn't say, Joshua, please give me a mountain. He said, give me this mountain. And so that's one of the things that you're going to need to do, is you're going to decide in your heart which mountain or which hill you want to take. I want to point out, and it's very obvious here, that the mountain he chose wasn't because of its ease. He actually said, there are giants, Anakims, that's what they are. They're giants, the sons of giants. They're huge guys and warriors. But you know, I want to point out another thing there, and that is that Caleb wasn't a 25-year-old. Caleb was a seasoned warrior. And that's why I'm telling you to not start off with a mountain. But I would advise you to have that mountain in view. If I can get this hill, sooner or later I'm going to get the mountain. That should be your attitude. If I can get this hill here, then there's a good possibility with the Lord's help and with the brotherhood, I will be able to get that mountain, that habit that I want to have formed in my life. One of the things that is the reason that I'm sharing this message is because I thought about the potential that's here. I am three times as old as the average here, at least, probably. I have lived most of my life. If the Lord tarries, most of yours is ahead of you. If you can start today forming these tracks, these habits in your life, imagine what can happen for the kingdom of heaven in your life, in the all of yours, if we put them all together, how can the world of our day be changed by us today, this morning, deciding? And you've heard lots of good messages, and maybe it's one of those messages that you can jot down and say, this is the habit that I, by the grace of God, want to form in my life. So we want to look at how we can possibly accomplish that. Again, could it be that Jesus, it's saying that of Jesus, that every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be brought low and the crooked shall be made straight. And that's the other thing they do in Germany. It's amazing. But they just, I mean, that thing is so straight, you just keep right on going. Imagine if they'd have a curve. I mean, they couldn't go fast, but they keep that thing straight or just a slight curve and they can go fast. And you can the same way if you will do the same in your life. Okay, so I would like to give you some pointers that I thought of as I was pondering this, of how to form a habit. How do we lay down these tracks? How do we make it so that every time it just keeps going around? It stays there. If I take it off of the track, it'll go and meander. I could probably, no telling where it would end up if I would put it down here on the floor. And that's how it is in our lives. If we don't form these habits, we're just kind of meandering about life. Who knows where we're going to end up? But if we get on a track, if we form a track in our lives, it can make that it just is the way it is. So before I do that, one of the things that makes it, and I touched on it and didn't go as deep as I planned to go, but one of the things about habit is there's a thing called automaticity. So I'll use as an example, how many of you have driven a straight shift, stick shift, or whatever you might call it? Okay, so lots of them over here, a few over here. So back in the day, that was the most common. Back in my day, there were hardly any automatic cars out there. And so I was very used to driving. And you probably know, those of you that drive one, you can shift that without even really thinking what you're doing. It just comes. I mean, you go first, second, third, fourth. You do it, and it just comes natural. Is that the way it was when you started? No. Nobody just automatically was born a straight shifter. I mean, that's just not how it happens. We have to form the habit. We have to make a policy of repetition, of doing it over and over and over, till finally it comes natural. It's what we call automaticity. It just happens without you thinking. Have you ever gone from a straight shift to a automatic and you come up and you want to push the clutch? Yes, I have heads nodding. It's because you just formed that habit. You got used to it. That's what it was. That's what I'm saying. That is the power of habit. That is the thing that when you do it in such a repetitious way where you can just go on and on. I should say, I guess here, I've been around these people that would object vehemently to what I'm saying here this morning. They would say that is not being led of the Spirit. They would say that, no, the Spirit will tell you what to do and it'll tell you how to live and all of those things. And there's some truth to what they say. I actually knew a man who he was so strong on being led of the Spirit that I'll give you a couple of stories on him. He was down in El Paso, Texas, and he was sitting there at a library. He's sitting there at a desk, and he's seeking the Lord. And he felt the Lord told him to go to Arkansas. And so he starts off. And he gets a 100 or 2 miles, I don't remember now how far down the road, and he felt the Lord telling him, no, he shouldn't go. So he turns around and he goes back and he sits down at that same library, at that same desk, and he's seeking the Lord. And I think that happened 3 times. And he felt, I mean, he was telling me the story with no apologies of, you know, talking about being led of the Spirit. This same man had a car that he took it to the extent that he wasn't going to have some gauges telling him what to do. He was led of the Spirit, and so he could tell when he was going the right speed, and he could go when tell when the fuel tank was empty, and the Spirit would tell it. You know, most people don't take things to that extent, but there are many people that take it farther than they should. And that's why I will say to you, I believe that you can be led of the Spirit with a purpose to form good habits. It's not something that is in opposition to being led of the Spirit to also recognize the value and the power of habit. Okay, number one. So I will write this down. I'm just going to say one is identify. Whoops. Identify what it is, what habit it is that you want to form. What is the habit? You have to be more explicit or more detailed than to just say, give me a mountain. Caleb, he said, give me this mountain. And you must do the same. You must determine which hill or which mountain you want. And I will tell you, initially, your new behavior, your new thing that you're wanting to gain in your life, it can be physically and mentally challenging. It can be hard, just like conquering a mountain is hard. It can very well be. It may cut against the grain of your emotions. It may cut against the grain of what everything within you is crying out to do right now. If you've been one of these people that has responded wrongly to bad situations, everything in you is crying out. My father used to work at a farmer's co-op. That's what they called them down in Tennessee, farm stores. And he worked there for a few years. And there was this guy there that he had a habit. His habit was that if he got startled or scared, he would just, juicy fruit. Or I don't remember what the term was, but every time if someone startled him, his hand would shoot out, juicy fruit. And so you can imagine these men, they are around, and they love to get him in the ribs or whatever, you know, and just juicy fruit. So one time, he was there, you know, talking with somebody right in front of him, and they purposely came up behind him and poked him in his ribs and juicy fruit and just, you know, poked the guy right in front of him. It's a little bit like what Brother Darrell was talking about yesterday about his nephew, remember? He got into this habit. It's what we call automaticity, where he just automatically pop and he shot that turkey. That is something that if it's the right kind of habit is good, where you just automatically respond with love in situations that are totally not what normal people do. It can be done. It can be. And again, it's part of a learned behavior, and it's something that is very valuable. Okay, identify. Next is plan. So, I would say go at this with the not with the attitude of this is going to be a piece of cake. I'm going to get this one here, no problem. Go at it, plan that you may actually, and the next one that I actually have, we'll just put here now, is I'm just going to put setback. You may well experience setbacks. You may well, depending on what the habit is, it may well be that it's going to be hard and you're going to fail. You're going to feel like a failure. A righteous man will rise again. A righteous woman will rise again and say, it was the right thing for me to make this purpose in my heart, and it's the right thing for me to get up and do it again. That's what you must do. You must at the outset recognize this could well be the case. Four. Accountability. Have an accountability partner. Someone to help you. Someone to, when you do have the setbacks, when you do not get to accomplish what you were hoping to accomplish, that you can, this is probably have someone to help you to accomplish those things in your life. And finally, I'm going to try to draw this thing down because I'm going too long on a lot of this. Reward. I'm just going to title it reward. You know, there's something, God created us this way, but there's something about us that if we reward ourselves for accomplishment, there's a benefit in that. So build in some rewards for some hard things that you're doing. Build something into it if you can, where you can reward yourself for accomplishing these behaviors. It'll be valuable for you. It's something you can do that is a blessing. Okay. So you've probably, many of you have probably heard of Stephen Covey. He wrote the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm not going to go into a lot of that book, but one of the things that is absolutely essential, and it's his first point, I believe, he uses the term proactive. But basically what he means by that is, you must take responsibility for your own actions. If you go into something like this and you have the attitude, well, yeah, I have this bad habit, but it's not my fault. I'm just a victim of the circumstances that I grew up in, or you name it. If you have that attitude, forget it. You will not be able to conquer the mountain. You will not get there. You must take responsibility. You must acknowledge the things that the behaviors in my life are me. They are who I am. And I'm taking responsibility. Sure, it's very true that we are a product of our surroundings. Things that happened in our childhood do affect us. Things that happen in our lives today do affect us. But ultimately, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, who is going to answer for you? It's going to be you. All right. So, Again, ponder. Think about your own life. Think about a habit, whether it's a bad habit or a non-essential habit, a habit that you don't need in your life, a habit that could easily be replaced with something better. We're told to go for those things which are more excellent. And I would say, let's do that in habit forming. In 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8, the ESV says it this way: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myth. Rather, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And that's what I'm trying to say here. Go for the excellent. Go for the things that, and I'm not against bodily exercise, obviously. You can have both. You can go for the excellent and still have bodily exercise, which has value. It says that there. But go, train, and purposefully choose to do what you can. I think there was something I missed here. I wanted to, with the points that I gave you there, the second one there, plan, I would say plan prayerfully. Plan prayerfully. Look to God. Ask Him to help you, because you do need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need God to help you in these things that you're choosing. Don't just decide in my brute force, in my power, I'm going to do it. I encourage you, look to the Lord. And when you have the setbacks, look to the Lord, and He will help you. Okay, so what are some good habits? Again, I'm not going to spend much time at all here on what some are. I've mentioned some are, but you could go to Galatians, and they're the fruit of the Spirit. And go on those and say, you know what? This one here is one that I would like to have more of in my life. I want it to be a habit in my life. Take one of them and say that, and choose to do that. Maybe it's one where you have a habit of being well within the boundaries of Scripture and your authorities, that you're not pushing the fence, you're not pushing the boundaries. Have the habit like that. I think that's a good habit for you now to form. It will be valuable for you later in life. It's a second nature that you can have, and later it'll come just like when you were going to push the clutch and didn't need to. It is going to be there. You've already established it. It's part of who you are. It's the way things are working for you. Okay. I would like to in closing, just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. And I'll read it in the ESV again. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. May God bless you. May you choose to discipline your bodies to where you have the track laid, and that train will just go round and round for you. Thank you, and God bless you.